welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday starting at 12.05 p.m. and going till 1 o'clock or maybe sometimes even a little bit later if we're really going well at the time. I want to wish everyone a happy Veterans Day and, of course, thank all the veterans out there for their service and the families that support them also. Well, what happened this week? Another new record high. That's right, another new record high. Seems like every week we're saying that, but it sure wasn't Bitcoin this week. It was Bitcoin Cash, and we're going to talk about that quite a bit, too. Also, for weeks, we have been talking about SegWit 2X coming. Well, it came. It didn't really come and just sort of fizzled out and went away, and we'll be looking at the shockwaves that followed all that. And finally, well, not finally, because we have a guest after that, but you know who, Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1, he is just basking. He's radiating. There's a light that is trailing and surrounding him like a huge aura as he basks in his prediction of the rise and surge of Bitcoin Cash.
Goldbug!
Well, Andy, congratulations. I was going to isolate the audio of you making the prediction last week, and there's too much of it. You were all over Bitcoin Cash, and congratulations. We'll tell people the details of that in a moment, but you hold your head high today.
Well, you know, it's not often you get to do that, and thank you very much, Henry, for that introduction. But I owe a big thank you to Lee. Lee's sitting next to me here. When I first came in, I thought I was going to give him a kiss. But then I'm thinking when I'm looking at him now, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, the movie Deliverance.
You both have beards, and I don't know what kind of residue is in there. But let's do the proper intro for Lee. The CEO of Byte Federal, LLC, the Bitcoin ATM company placing Bitcoin ATMs ubiquitously throughout the state of Florida and beyond. Good afternoon, Lee. Glad you could come in second time for the studio live.
It's awesome to be here.
Yes. Well, and I guess one person can take a little bit more of self-adulation than Lee, but Lee, you were the ones that 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, you said, Bitcoin Cash is the real Bitcoin. Of course, a moment is 10 years in the real world and in the crypto world, but this is your moment. Come on, take a bow.
Come on. It's pretty easy to see that was the case, and now we're seeing the market movement as expected.
Well, if it was pretty easy to see, I don't think we would see exactly the movements we're seeing in the market right now.
Lennart saw it. Lots of other people saw it. I think Roger Ver saw it.
Well, we are going to get to your cohort there in just a moment. But first, he's back two times in a row and many more times in a row to come. Augie. Well, you were a witness to it all. What do you have to say about it all?
Andy the Goldbug has got the bug. I mean, you know, you've got to say that. I do think that there's problems on the horizon that are going to affect all of the virtual currencies, but I will talk about that later.
All right. And finally, it's a full house here today. I don't know where you guys would squeeze Crypto Noob Girl in, Colleen, if she made it today. She's supposed to be back after Thanksgiving. But we'll figure that out at that time. Finally. All I don't know if you can tell the subtle difference between Lee's intro and Leonard's intro, the CTO.
I couldn't.
No, it's there. It's very, very subtle. Stream, yeah. It's subtler than subtle.
Thanks, Henry, for having me back. But don't worry, I could just back up behind Lee. That's fine.
All right. Well, before we dive into the week's events, let me give you a heads up that we are going to have a guest just in a little bit, about 10, 15 minutes, Terry Brock. TerryBrock.com. He is a best-selling author of the McGraw-Hill book, Clout Matters. He's a certified speaker. I don't know exactly how that becomes to be, but he is, and he's a member of the Professional Speakers Hall of Fame. Syndicated columnist with business journals, 23 different papers with 40 million monthly page views, and he'll be with us in just a little while to delve into the world of blockchain with us. But, again, there was so much going on this week, not what we thought was going to happen completely. I stumble over. Some people knew, other people didn't, the majority didn't, and we're going to get into that in just a moment.
Hey, I've got news for you.
Yeah, well, it is on the way up. Market observers expected hot money to flow from Bitcoin to altcoins after the SegWit2x hard fork was canceled, but instead the entire altcoin market seems to have crashed along with Bitcoin. That might be a little bit extreme on Bitcoin. While Bitcoin Cash surges, when I put this together, it was 55%, but doing the math, you might as well say about 75% at this point in time. The crash in the price of Bitcoin down 1,300 in the last 2 days, or actually about 1,500 or 1,600 as we speak at this time, has been accompanied by most altcoins crashing. On top of the 40 cryptocurrencies by market cap, only Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum Classic, and Dash have posted gains in the last 24 hours. People were short Bitcoin and long altcoins were only half right. The divide was apparent a long time before the Bitcoin Cash fork was created and before SegWit2x was envisaged. The community is split on the issue of block size, and we're going to be getting some technical expertise on that in just a second. So let's go with the chief technical officer of Byte Federal. And so what was the controversy? And then we'll go over to Lee and get what happened at the when we thought the fork was going to be stuck in.
Well, one of the core problems is just the fees for Bitcoin. If you've been around from the beginning of Bitcoin, one of the big arguments for it was here's a digital currency that's trustless, but also where the fees basically are near zero. And you know, as Bitcoin became more popular and the blocks filled up, the fees now have gone so high that a question arose. You know, what do we do in terms of bringing those fees down? Do we just make those blocks for transactions larger, or do we create a completely different software solution for it?
And so, what happened? It was all coming down. It was going to happen. Lee, why didn't it? I mean, who made that? Who pulled the plug?
Because it's proof that that the community has some sanity. No.
Who is the community?
Somebody
has to sort this out. Put some order to it.
No order to it. That's pretty funny. The fact remains that SegWit V2 was just insanity, and the proper thing happened, which is that it fell apart like rice paper in a hurricane.
You know, and he made a valid point a few weeks ago too on that you already have a SegWit fork, and that's Litecoin. And so why do we need to fork again? And I think a lot of people are going in there. You know, the irony of the whole thing is B2X futures are still trading crazy. I mean, like, it's still going to happen. People are still in delusion.
Well, and just increasing the number of the size of the block also already happened. That's Bitcoin Cash. So if anybody who wanted to go that way already had a solution and an option, and that was Bitcoin Cash.
Before we... Well, we're talking about delusion. We have to bring Augie into the conversation. Augie, you've been the bystander to all this. No skin in the game, so to speak. And
there won't be for lots of reasons. Well, you know, when we get a war about to turn the corner in Saudi Arabia, and it's right around the corner, they want to go to war. They want to shut down those governments that they can't control, and they're going to use Israel and us to do it. To go to war with Iran is going to create a mess electronically. There's already a mechanism called a missile launcher that can capture satellites. So when you don't have satellite devices that you're used to, and there's going to be a war over satellites along with this war. You got oil war, satellite war, everything's screwed electronically. So this whole thing is hinging on a wish and a prayer. However you want to make analogies, make it to war, because that's your ultimate.
Now, was this discussed at the Democratic Convention in Orlando?
No, get him started, because we got a guest coming up.
That is a complete misconception of me, first of all. That's an insult. I want to listen to kindergarten people talk from a stage and call them whatever they call themselves, whether it's Trumpites or Democrats. It doesn't matter. They're the same people.
Augie's making an important point here, because really, if we didn't have a guest, we'd go into this deeper, because what's happening in the Middle East has been foreshadowed for a while, and it's really coming to a head right now. So let's address his point. What happens if we don't have satellite technology? Does Bitcoin still exist? Does the digital currency still exist? What are the alternate ways that happens?
Well, let me approach this from a market perspective. And
no market exists in that situation.
Well, there is, the oil market. And I think that if there was a big turmoil in market, you know, in the market, or in, you know, Saudi Arabia and that, because they are one of the largest distributors of oil in the world, you'd see oil, you know, going rising and rising and rising. And I haven't seen it break that $60 range yet. So I think that it's more hype than it is, you know, the market's telling us something else. I mean, oil's going down.
We have to call time on this, because we'll probably do it in the bonus round here at around 1 o'clock when we say goodbye to the guests. So stay tuned through the blockchain discussion.
I can nail this down.
Okay, and he will nail it.
There are other networks than satellite.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about cellular networks, et cetera.
That's
things
what you have to show.
Well, we'll do that all soon enough. We have to stay on time here. We have a guest that I have to get on the line. And coming up on the other side of the break, and I have to make the announcement before we get lost in the next break, too, and the next guest, is the first Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup is officially scheduled now for the Saturday after Thanksgiving, the 25th. At Mocha Joe's, right down the street. Andy, you know what the street address is over there?
Yeah, it's 3633 Cortez Road West. It's right behind the McDonald's and adjacent to the Goodwill.
So 2 o'clock, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we'll be leaving from the show, or whoever's here will be leaving from the show and heading over there, and we will get a chance to meet everybody in person, and you'll get to probably be disappointed by what we look like. We look much better on the radio, but I'll just speak for myself on that one.
It's on the way out. It's on the way out. It's on the way out.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
Log of the Starship Enterprise, stardate 5943.7.
Captain Kirk, this is Lieutenant Uhura. Mr. Spock is ready to patch in. Go ahead, Mr. Spock.
I'm on the surface of the destroyed barbarian planet now, Captain.
Destroyed? What do you see, Mr. Spock?
The surviving inhabitants are in a dreadful condition. It seems they can't control their limbs, and their minds are dull and useless. Fascinating. They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century Earth disease called hard drug abuse. I suspect it has destroyed all meaningful life on this wretched planet.
A tragic find, Mr. Spock.
As a Vulcan, I find the need for hard drugs to be totally illogical.
But as a half-human Spock, surely you can appreciate the suffering that hard drug abuse causes. We can only hope that other civilizations will not make the same mistake.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to her every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock. Make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Well, we got a chance to meet Brian over at Mocha Joe's when the Brain Trust met after the post show. He's a man of great wit, and Andy and I were there, and between Andy and I and Brian's great wit, we managed to be in the midst of two wits, so you can do the math on that.
Quit wits.
No, how do you knit wits?
So we want to thank Brian for the love he showed us there. He dropped us off some of these Zap cloth, which he is marketing over at the Red Barn Flea Market and around the country, evidently. So go over there, check him out. I was getting ready to test it out last weekend cleaning up my house, but it's never too late to procrastinate, so we'll give it a shot this week. Andy, you were helping him out with his app on the cryptocurrency, whatever exchange. Did you get him into Bitcoin Cash last week?
Unfortunately, no. We bought him in Neo.
Okay. Well, do as I do. Don't do as I say. Coming up here, right, standing by very patiently, and I've been looking forward to this for a couple weeks since I first talked to him live on the phone. Terry Brock, his website is terrybrock.com, is the co-author of a best-selling McGraw-Hill book, Clout Matters, about social media and how to be more effective using cloud as the measuring stick. He is a specialty speaker in technology and relationship marketing expert. He's a member of the Professional Speakers Hall of Fame, syndicated columnist with business journals. Over 23, he's been a master of ceremonies at some really incredible places, and he's just come back from some, too. But just to name a couple, he was at the Nexus Earth Conference hosting that, and that had people like Ed Asner, Jesse Ventura, Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich, so a real broad spectrum there. Also, he was in Acapulco at the for the Conference on Freedom and Liberty and Entrepreneurial Ventures, Arnacapulco, if I stumble over that. He was the master of ceremonies there, and I think he just came from Lisbon, Portugal, too. We'll find out all about that. But first, let's welcome him to the Henry Rain Show. Good afternoon, Terry. Thank you for making time for us today.
Good afternoon, Henry. It's great to be with you today.
Yes, and I guess you're returning home a little bit. If you ever left very much, you had an early start in radio, too, didn't you?
Actually, I did. Yeah, I got it in when I was in high school. I had the opportunity to work on radio stations up in Michigan, where I'm from, and I got a chance to be on the air. And then I went on for undergrad school and used a major in radio, TV, and newspapers, working in newspapers and that, and just having fun with it.
All right. Well, just I know I sent you an email before, but just so you can hear the voices to associate it with the names I gave you. Andy, Goldbug One, the syndicated, well, the columnist on TradingView.com. Andy, you're over 8,000 followers now. I just saw from last week.
It's getting crazy. It's getting crazy.
And hey, congratulations, Andy. That's marvelous.
Well, thank you.
Love your stuff. Been watching what you're doing online, and I really like it.
All right. Well, then we have, respectively, Lee, the CEO of Byte Federal, and Lennart, the chief technical officer of Byte Federal, the Bitcoin ATM companies. You guys can say hello to Terry.
Hello, this is Leonard.
Hey, this is Lee.
Hello there, Lee and Leonard. How you two doing?
Wonderful, you?
Oh, loving it. Love what you're doing there with those machines, those ATMs for Bitcoin. Good for you. I got to find out where those are over here in Orlando. So somewhere along the way, you have to give me a few addresses on that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right, and finally, I don't know about his online presence, but he has a presence here. The contrarian, Augie.
Good morning, good afternoon. What part of the day you think you're in?
Yeah, I haven't figured that out yet, but I'm working on it. I'm thinking it's afternoon here over in Orlando now. But, Augie, really good to meet you here and looking forward to your comments. I really value what you have to say. You remind me of a gentleman I talked with extensively just a few days ago up in Aspen when I was the MC of the event, Ed Asner. And even though I'll always know him as
Lou
Grant, he is just a wonderful man. We had a marvelous time talking about many things where we agree, even though we disagree on a few other areas. But I find we both want more power to the individual.
And, Terry, we're speaking with Terry Brock, terrybrock.com. You just came back from Lisbon, too. What were you doing over there?
I was the master of ceremonies for a big event called Steamfest. Got a chance to speak over there. My partner, Gina, and I both spoke over there. She spoke and I did, and then I was master of ceremonies for several of the events. It was a big event for Steamfest, or for Steemit, the cryptocurrencies out there that you get paid when you write and produce content. And got a chance to see a lot of just amazing people from all over the world. I find that a lot of what's happening with crypto is worldwide. It is not an American phenomenon, but it's a worldwide phenomenon. And people are embracing not only Bitcoin, but other altcoins and really the blockchain. I think the blockchain being the foundation of all of it gives us a lot of opportunities. So that's what I was doing over there. I'm still a little bit on European time right now, but I got back late Tuesday night and then early morning Wednesday teaching a bunch of engineers here about what's going on with technology and relationship marketing and things like that.
Well, you've been lecturing, or of course you've been helping corporations and individuals with social marketing, things like that. So you're not new to the technical world at all, but somehow along the way you've become a go-to person when it comes to blockchain. Can you talk about that transition, please?
Blockchain is, I think, one of the most amazing technologies we've seen. It really, of course, is the underlying component that Satoshi Nakamoto, he or they or she or whoever it was that put that together for Bitcoin. And now we're seeing it has a lot of wonderful applications beyond that that apply to healthcare, to voting, to transportation, to many things. When we need something to be really secure, and we also need it to be absolutely verifiable and trustworthy. They're not trusting in people, but now we're trusting in, well, mathematics, which doesn't let us down, even though people that might be well-meaning and might want to try to do the best thing have done that in the past. And so now we're seeing blockchain as a technology that is emerging and showing a lot of great potential.
I've talked to some programmers that come through my weekday job, and they're fairly young guys in their 30s, a couple of them I've talked to, and one has decided to mine Bitcoin, but doesn't seem to be too aware of the news and community around it. Another person who had a pretty outstanding job was like, well, I've heard of blockchain. What is that? So what's the status of the awareness of it? People are starting to know about Bitcoin. It's getting mainstream. But where are we on the curve of awareness for blockchain?
I think with blockchain, what I'm seeing is more and more business leaders are embracing it. They realize that's what they need. Even someone like, say, pick Jamie Dimon, who said that he felt Bitcoin was going to be a failure, no good at all. Yet his company, Chase J.P. Morgan, is going out and investing heavily in blockchain technologies, and others, banks are doing that as well. Many businesses realize, okay, we need to be on this one. And frankly, I kind of see it as very similar to what we saw in the early 90s when this thing called the World Wide Web was coming out, and people were hearing about the information superhighway and wondering what it was, and I was trying to encourage people to get on this thing called email. And they'd look at me and say, what do you mean email? Well, I know what mail is, but not what email is. Well, we'll just stick to a fax machine. And they didn't understand where it was going and how the Internet changed our lives. We didn't even know then what it's going to do and what it's doing today. But I think blockchain holds the same kind of potential and even more, because it gives us what we want with really decentralized security. Rather than, we noticed what happened a few weeks ago at Equifax. They had 143 million accounts that were just exposed. And, Henry, as you know, this is not just something that's trivial. It's like, yeah, they got your name and your Social Security, but also your first car, your mother's maiden name. Those kind of questions that we regularly give in a week, what we hope would be very secure. But that becomes what the people in cryptology that know a whole lot more about this than I do call a honeypot. It's something like you got 143 million pieces of information there that are really juicy, can be grabbed and sold on the black market. And that's the traditional way of using a database. Now with blockchain, we distribute that so that it's in many, many different places. And if a bad guy wants to get it, they'd have to go and attack hundreds or even thousands or more places where they would have the data. So it becomes almost impossible and practically impossible for them to get it, because each one then is checking all the others. security is enhanced enormously, and at the same time, we're not trusting in a person to do it. And we're not going to have to pay for that trusted third party. Look at the fees we have when we transfer funds back and forth internationally. It's outrageous. With the cryptocurrencies, with blockchain, we can do it for very low fees, and with some cryptocurrencies, for hardly anything. And it's much more secure.
Terry, staying on the Equifax hack, okay, that was a third party that sells their information about us for interested parties for, we would think, legitimate means. But they're taking our data and making a profit of it. Is the next extension of what you're talking about that we will own our own data and we will furnish it to who we want to, not to a third party to then redistribute it?
Absolutely. See, you should own that information. You should own your own personal information, and you only give it away selectively to those you want. As an example, we've talked about financial information, but it can also be used and is being used now more and more in healthcare. It would be good for you to keep your private health information confidential. That's just for you, and you can choose to selectively give it to your medical doctor of choice, or available to a verified medical professional that you want to have it, and no one else. And that's really where blockchain comes in. It's much better in several different areas, which is why it's getting the attention of people in industries like healthcare, finance, transportation, and many others.
We're speaking with Terry Brock. He is a sought-after technology speaker and author. You can find much of his work, video, articles, etc., at terrybrock.com, and that's TerryBrock.com. Terry, for the individuals listening to this show, which probably if they're listening this long, they have an interest in cryptocurrency, so they might have some awareness of the technology, but not how it's going to impact their everyday life. Even the Equifax or the healthcare, we as in our everyday life, we're a little bit removed from that. Our doctors handle it, the bankers handle it, et cetera. Where are they going to see the biggest and first, well, that may be two different things, and or the biggest and or first impact in their everyday kind of life from blockchain?
I think it will happen when they really get involved with Bitcoin. Something I would encourage people to consider would be to go to, there's many places you can go. One I tend to like is Bitcoin.com. And it's pretty easy to remember, Bitcoin.com. And take some money that you would be willing to lose, and you use that. I'm talking about $50, $100. Think of it often compared to over here in Orlando. Many people come and will spend the money going to Disney World. They have a good time. They go to Universal. They go to SeaWorld and other attractions that are here. They have a great time. They don't say, oh, gee, I didn't get a return on that money. Well, your return is more psychic and fun. And so that's the kind of money you would use. You don't sell the family farm and put all the money into that. But get a little bit of it, and then that way you become more involved. Much like if you buy a share or a few shares of a stock, you start watching the stock market a little more carefully. You buy a little bit of gold, which is a good idea. Gold, silver, platinum, some of those that have been around for several centuries. And Goldbug 1, Andy, you know that much better than I do.
I love the shiny metals, that's for sure.
Exactly, and I think you want some of those shiny metals. You want not a whole lot, but it's there. Even though it hasn't done a whole lot in the last few years, that's okay. You don't buy it because you're thinking you'll buy it today and double it tomorrow. You have a little bit. But I think with Bitcoin, it's good to have a little bit. I'm not telling anyone that they should do this, but just think about an amount of money, maybe for a dinner. How much would you spend for you and a loved one, maybe a couple other people, and you're going to buy, you went out to a nice restaurant for dinner. Think about that number and putting that into Bitcoin and watching it. Now, I can almost guarantee you, and guarantee is a rough word here, you're going to see a lot of volatility. It goes up and it goes down. Last week, as we all know, it was up around 74, 7500. And now we're seeing it around, well, let me see. I'm looking at CoinMarketCap right now as we're recording this at this instant. It is $6,384. So $6,384 for Bitcoin. However, the real surprise is Bitcoin Cash has enormously jumped. Right now it is $1,262 and some change. And so those two currencies really are going somewhere. I think we're going to see Bitcoin Cash come on even stronger as of what happened this last week. But I think that we're going to see a lot of change in that. And for someone to see an impact in their own life, do that, and then go over to purse.io, and you can start getting discounts at Amazon and other places of 10, 15, 20% when you use Bitcoin. So if you're using Bitcoin for that, you will get a discount, and that can make a major or at least a minor impact in your life, and it's a good way to get started. And then you start feeling even better when you see that dollars or few that you put in there. If it goes up, that'll be great. And if you lose it, again, don't put the family farm in there. Be willing to lose some of it, but chances are it's going to be going up.
Now, how does Purse.io enable you to offer, they enable themselves to offer discounts at Amazon?
People want to get Bitcoin, and so they're willing to pay a little bit more and get the prices that they want because they want to get the Bitcoin. This is in areas around the world that they're not able to do it as easily, and they're willing to then make that a discount through buying on Amazon. So it works out very well. Plus, you can buy in many other merchants now as well. A good place to go would be gift.com. That's G-Y-F-T.com, where you can get gift cards from most of the major retailers that you would know and recognize, and you can buy these cards and then just use that with your Bitcoin, and it makes it a little bit easier.
We're going to continue the conversation with Terry Brock on the other side of the break here on the Henry Raines Show, and we will pick up where we left off. Hopefully we've got some other questions that are in the wings for him here. I know he won't be short for words. And we do have an open phone line at 888-761-1490, 888-761-1490. If you're inspired to ask a question, please do. And you're listening to The Henry Raines Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raines Show.
This important message is brought to you through a partnership of the U.S. government and the Canadian Ministry of Tourism. With the Cold War rapidly heating up, nuclear attack a very real possibility, we must be vigilant as a nation and well-prepared should the worst-case scenario ever occur. As a precautionary measure, duck and cover techniques are being practiced nationwide in our schools, in our homes, and in our work settings to better ensure human survival. The U.S. government has determined that this method is the best way to ensure you and your family remain safe during a full-scale nuclear attack. Now, let's take a look at some nuclear blast footage we've recently acquired. On second thought, if we ever find ourselves under nuclear attack, well, enjoy the view, because you can kiss your ass goodbye. Stay sunny, America.
It's on the way out. It's on the way out.